Well, firstly, I want to say what a blessing this morning has been. I've been standing in front of that picture. Many of you may not even have noticed that picture as you came in if you're sitting at the back, but come and look later. Asima painted that, the Tommy. I think it's absolutely awesome. And what impressed me was the hat that's sitting on the grave with the cross of his friend and the fact he's wearing a red. Wonderful. So this morning, it's a sensitive time. It's a difficult time, Remembrance Sunday, but it's a time that we really want to come to the Lord and understand more fully what he's trying to say to us through it. And I believe today he wants to talk about the tough times that you're all going through, the tough times that all these people who gave their lives went through all these wars that we've had. So it's how do you and I cope in our tough times? Do we cave in or do we rise up and say, with Christ, I will come through it because I know God who's alive and will help me. Well, let's turn in the word to Romans 12, 9 to 21 we're going to read. And it's entitled Love in Action. You know, you can go boldly into the throne room and talk to Father God. Did you know that? If you're a Christian, you can do that. And you don't have to have a special jargon. You can just talk to God as you talk to me or you talk to any of your friends and tell him how you're struggling with a tough time. Now let's read this scripture because it's entitled Love in Action. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. I've underlined that verse in my Bible. Never be lacking in zeal, Christian, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope. Hope means certainty. So be joyful in hope. Patient in affliction. Faithful in prayer. And I think sometimes we all slip in prayer. We need to pray more. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. And look at this. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Now, some versions say, be willing to do menial work, and I think that's a good translation. Either, it means that we're willing to do and to mix and to be with everybody. Do not be conceited. That also means do not be proud. Do not be, I don't need to do this. Verse 17, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. You live at peace with everyone? Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil by good. Let's just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray as I've read that word, that scripture would touch each and every heart in this auditorium today and mine. And I pray, Holy Spirit, as I speak, you will guide me by your Spirit. Lord, if I've prepared things in my heart that I want to share that are not of you, just bin them in Jesus' name, because we want to meet with you, the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So that scripture really truly is love in action. And God is love. So when you and I get bent out of shape and we're not walking in love, guess what? We've lost our connection with God. We've just slipped into the flesh. You and I have a daily choice to make. Will we walk in the Word and the Spirit, or will we walk in our fleshly, earthly way, which is, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be kind. I don't want to help. Come on, we need to listen to the words we've just read and realize that in tough times, we need to be love in action. We need to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. Galatians 5:1 tells us, it was for freedom Christ came to set us free. Stand firm then. Do not let yourselves be burdened with a yoke of slavery. Sometimes freedom means not doing exactly what you and I would like to do. Don't like that bit, do we? Sometimes it means not saying exactly what we'd like to say. How many times have you wanted to give somebody a word that you know would put your record straight, but would bend them out of shape. And God says, don't do it. Just remember that scripture, love in action. I want to read something to you, because sometimes you and I can get mesmerized by the size of our problem. We need to remember that we need to stand firm. We heard earlier on when Pete shared the size of his problem and the diagnosis he was told. He stood in faith, and look what the scan showed eventually. Did he have to go through an ordeal? Yes, he jolly well did. And so did his family alongside him, and so did his church family. But look at him. Men and women, as we see portrayed on that picture there, went through hell for our freedom. Don't be mesmerized by the size of your problem. Right, I'm going to read this to you. Many of you know the true story of Corrie ten Boom. A story took place during the Second World War. She and her family were watchmakers and devout Christians. They hid Jews in the back of their small watchmaker's shop in Amsterdam. They had a false wall, and the people who were incarcerated behind there lived, ate, slept. The resistance movement then endeavoured to get these Jews through to other safe houses in Holland and get them out into safety. Someone in the town informed on what they were doing, Corrie ten Boom and her family. And the Gestapo came and arrested them. And they searched the house, and they couldn't find the Jews, who were still behind the wall. But they arrested the whole family, took them off, and they went into concentration camp. The horrors that she encountered there were ghastly. But while this was going on, those Jews were still behind the false wall, and the Gestapo were watching the house. The Dutch resistance knew they were behind the wall, eventually got them out. Those people were free, although the ten Boons gave their lives for them. Corrie. After the war, during this time when she was in concentration camp, she lost her whole family and her precious sister, and she had a horrific ordeal. After the war, she travelled preaching, teaching and telling her story, and it was in the USA that she was introduced to a man that she instantly recognised. He'd been one of the concentration camp guards, and he'd tormented Corrie and her sister Betsy. Since the end of the war, he'd become a Christian. He instantly put out his hand, offered her his hand in friendship, asking for her forgiveness. Everything inside of Corrie rose up in her horror and disgust of what this man had done to her and her family. And she looked down and she prayed. His hand was still stuck out. Suddenly, he found her arm go out, and her hand clasped his. Forgiveness, God's forgiveness, flowed through them. She was able to forgive. Love in action. You and I all go through tough times, some worse than others. We face bereavements, financial problems, people leave us, people hurt us, people kill, maim and destroy. We have health problems, the list goes on and on and on. And it seems endless, but surely war and the consequences of war must be some of the worst we could ever endure. Remembrance Sunday draws human beings together in a particular way. It is unique. We can all come together. And we've heard this morning as we've gone through our service, churches up and down the nation are meeting. People who never go to church are going to church to remember what's happened in the past for our freedom. And it draws people together in this particular way that is unique, because we all come together, young and old, rich and poor, every nationality, and there is a common denominator, war, and its horrific consequences. On Remembrance Day, we are remembering and honouring those who stood in the gap in freedom and tyranny. We are also reminded that we, the church, are called to stand in the gap and fight for good against evil. We speak on behalf of the Lord God against injustices and for freedom of people. And as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we tell of the hope in this life and life after death. That there is a place where there's no more crying and there's no more sickness and there's no more death. And that place is with the Lord Jesus Christ himself in what we know and understand to be heaven. We won't know what it's like till we get there. But it's going to be good. Amen? We're all going to get there if you love the Lord Jesus Christ at some time or other. These people in the war got there earlier than they wanted to. And some of them didn't know what to do at the end. I believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe the Christian church offers hope to all who will believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, especially when it appears to some people that all hope has died and they're incarcerated in prisons, some as our persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ are in countries throughout the world. We know it's 100 years now since the end of the First World War. We know that one of the world's worst, toughest battles was the Battle of the Somme. You don't, you're going to know it now. It lasted for 141 days. 141 days. And the cost of that particular battle was over 1 million lives on both the Allied, British Allied and the German side. Don't you think that was a type of hell on earth? Don't you think all war is? I do. Then we had the Second World War. They said it would never happen again. Then we had the Second World War. More lives lost. More pain, hurt, maiming and destruction. And many other wars have taken place since. You only got to turn on the TV. Come on, you know what I'm going to say. And you see more horrors of war. More people being killed. More homes destroyed. Tanks, terrorism, violence, evil. Men, women and children dead. It's horrible. Hard to understand, hard to comprehend. You and I live in a fallen world. A very dear friend had been praying for me, preaching this morning, and he decided to send me this poem. I believe it's going to touch us all. Mike Schaffernocker flew as a door gunner with the Seawolves USA in the Vietnam War in 1969. Keenly aware of his own mortality, he wrote this poem and entitled it, Look God. So here we go. Look God, I've never spoken to you. Now I want to say, how do you do? You see, God, they told me you didn't exist. Like a fool, I believed all this. Last night from a shell hole, I saw your sky. I figured right then they told me a lie. Had I taken the time to see things you made, I'd have known they were not calling a spade a spade. I wonder, God, if you would shake my hand. Somehow I feel you would understand. Funny how I had to come to this hellish place before I had time to see your face. Well, I guess there isn't much more to say. But I'm sure glad, God, that I met you today. I guess the zero hour will soon be here. But I'm not afraid now. I know you're here. Signal. Oh, God, I've got to go. I like you a lot, and this I want you to know. Look now, this will be a horrible fight. Who knows? I may come to your house tonight. Oh, I wasn't too friendly with you before. I wondered, God, if you'd wait by your door. Look, I'm crying. Me, shedding tears. I wished I'd known you these many years. Well, I do have to go now. God, goodbye. Strange, since I met you, I'm not afraid. Mike's fire team was ambushed in a helicopter trap on the Cambodian border. He fell out of the aircraft and was hanging by his gunner's belt when it crashed on him. He was born February the 28th, 1949, and died April the 28th, 1969. 20 years old, and the day he died, he'd met his saviour. Wrote that poem. Doesn't that touch you? But we know that men and women and anybody who was killed in some of the bombings and everything, they've only got to call out God. There. He's there. As Christians, God's love is where we need to turn to when we've got problems. Don't turn away from a loving God. Don't turn away from a loving Saviour, Jesus Christ. Don't turn away from the power of the precious Holy Spirit who can help you, guide you, and lead you through these difficult times. And as we look back, we must also look forward in faith, recalling and remembering how God's helped us in the past. You know, no experience of your past or mine is wasted. God will use it to help somebody else. So today, as we remember and we recall, we must also remember we've got a future, both here on earth and into eternity. Let's not get stuck in the sorrow, the sadness, and the hopelessness. Let's learn from the tough times that others have experienced for our freedom, and learn from the tough times we've experienced in our lives, and learn. In the Gospel of John 15, 12 to 13, we read, My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down their lives for one's friend. Jesus was speaking here to his disciples. He was endeavouring to assure them that it would all be okay after he'd left them. He wanted them to understand. He was trying to explain that he was going to lay down his life for a very important reason. He was going to make a sacrifice of his own life on the cross for the benefit of his friends, his families, all mankind that ever lived. Took upon himself the mistakes, the wrongdoing of every person who ever lived and who ever will live, if, big if, they ask him into their hearts by faith. He was making the ultimate sacrifice for mankind that only God would make, God in the flesh. Sacrifice is the giving of something for a higher purpose. We live in freedom today. I've said so many times, for the sacrifice of what others have done in dying in wars, young young people. The same is true of the Christian because of Jesus Christ. A person who follows Christ lives in freedom from guilt and shame because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That person is in a relationship with Jesus on a daily basis. Are you in a relationship with Jesus on a daily basis? Do you know God's peace in your heart in each and every situation? Do you know when you die, do you know you'll be going to a greater place? I spoke about just now that the Bible says we can't imagine what truly we'll be like. Jesus offers you and I light with darkness. He offers us peace in the busyness of life. He offers us a belief that this life on earth is not the whole story. There's more to come. There is a God, and he has a plan for all people who care to choose to come through the Son, the doorway, Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever, you are whoever, I'm a whoever, believes in him shall not perish, shall have eternal life. But God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. It's John 3:16-17, if you're taking notes. I ask each one of us, do you truly believe it? Do you truly know it in your heart? Do you still have forgiveness issues that you need to resolve just the way as Corrie ten Boom did all those years later? You know, we've just said the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Unless we can forgive others, how can we expect our Heavenly Father to forgive us? When tough times come, you know, if you're not careful, fear will paralyze you. Fear will paralyze me. I say it many times when I speak about fear. F-E-A-R. False evidence appearing real. It will paralyze us like a rabbit caught in the headlights of a car. I say, take a stand. As I said at the very beginning, take a stand. That battle is not ours. The battle is the Lord's. The battle is between good and evil. Let's get on the side of Jesus and be on the good side and walk in the benefits and the blessings he wants us to be in. We live in a fallen world. Bad things do happen to good people because of free will. Jesus says in John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. And in the Gospel of John 14:27, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Jesus truly is the only peace giver. And I testify to that. I've been a Christian 39 years. Prior to that, I thought I was. I was religious. Went to church, Easter, Christmas, weddings and funerals, Remembrance Sundays, those sort of things. I had no peace in my heart. Nothing. Nothing fully satisfied. Anybody relate to that? But God wastes nothing. I was seriously ill and thought I might die. And I called out to God and said, if you're really there, do something. And I got peace in my heart, and it's never left me, no matter what difficulty I have been through. And if you like, that's the born again experience. That's the born again experience. I was changed when I said, I can't cope. Over to you, God. Just the same way as that Mike Schaffernocker I read the poem of was changed. He suddenly realized he'd missed the real thing, the real deal, God. Jesus truly is the only peace giver. In Acts 16, we read about Paul and Silas. They were arrested, flogged, chained, put into an inner jail in the cells. They could have whined in pity and said, oh, what's going to happen to us? We've got all these wounds from flogging and there's rats in the cell. And they, well, would you have? Come on, you might have. But what did they do about midnight? They started praying, praising, and singing. The other prisoners heard it, and the power of the Holy Spirit was in the place. And there was an earthquake because a miracle happened, and the prison doors flew open and their chains fell off. You could only do what they did if you understood the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and you were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't you agree? We should learn by this example, what I've just quoted in the Bible, and the examples of many other people of how to cope in dire circumstances. You see, pressure creates diamonds. Are there many ladies in here who like diamonds? No, I don't. I'm not fussed at all. A bit of glass is fine for me. But a diamond is created through pressure. You better believe it. I heard that. A diamond is created through pressure. And so when you and I receive pressure and we turn to Christ, he helps us through the pressure Does the pressure go away just like that? No. There are consequences. We've just heard about war and the dire consequences, which ripple on and affect others. But we come through changed. We come through better. As we come to a close, I want to ask each one of us, you're nearly all wearing poppies today or enamel poppies or whatever. What are you going to do with it after today? You throw it away? You just shove it in a drawer and think, oh, I'll use that next year? You recycle it? What do you actually do with your poppy? So I want to commend you all. Just put it on the side, near your Bible or something, and pray. Pray throughout the year. Be reminded. It's just a little reminder. Be reminded of what the poppy stands for. Because I'm going to tell you about poppies. They were the first signs of new life to grow on war-torn, battle-scarred, desolate landscapes after the war in Flanders. And in 1922, the poppy factory was founded to offer some type of employment opportunity to maimed and wounded soldiers returning from World War I. They created products for the royal family and the Royal British Legion's annual poppy appeal. They still make them. The poppy is the blood-red symbol of life, us remembering the sacrifice men and women made, the brave men and women made in wars. But you know, the Christian church also has a symbol of sacrifice. It's the cross. If you look there, you see the cross. If you look there on that field of poppies up there, you see the cross of Christ. It's the symbol of the Christian gospel of Christ. God came to earth, allowed himself to be one of us in the person of Jesus Christ. He experienced everyday life in a war-torn, occupied land. And at the age of 33, he died on that horrendous cross. Took upon himself the sins of the world, your sins, my sins. The good news is he didn't stay dead. The good news is he rose victorious from the grave. The good news is he walked and talked upon the earth for 40 days before ascending back to heaven and sending the promised Holy Spirit to indwell believers, just as he said he would. And do you know what? There's more good news. He said he's going to return again, and he will, and he will. So on this Remembrance Sunday, I want us all to heed the words I spoke at the beginning from Romans 12, love in action. Let's put them into practice in tough times. You know, God says it's mine to retaliate, not you. You need to remember those things. And maybe John 3:16 to 17, maybe you ought to do something about that today. If you're listening to this on the web, maybe you ought to do something about that today. You can contact this church, we'll willingly help you. Maybe you're in this auditorium today and you need to do something about that John 3:16, 17 and give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. It can have God's peace in it, and it can last into eternity. Like Schaffernocker told us that in his poem. He said, okay, God, I'm coming to meet you now. We can walk in forgiveness with God and other people. Corrie ten Boom told us that. She did it. And if she did it with what she experienced, we can do it with what we experience. We can be overcomers in and through Jesus. We can be winners through our Lord Jesus Christ and Saviour. We can be more than a conqueror in difficult circumstances. Does that mean I'm not going to have any more tough times? You know, I'd love to think I'm not going to have any more tough times. Who else would love to think they're not going to have any? Yeah, all of us. But I'm sorry, guys, we will. Amen? I'm sorry about that, because that's how diamonds are created, under pressure. It simply means that with God, we can get through life's traumas, tough times and difficulties, and emerge triumphant. Amen? I think we need to pray. Father God, we come to you. Lord, you know if we've all got peace in our hearts. Some may not have this morning. You know, Father, whether we've got any unforgiveness in our hearts. Nobody else may know, but you know. You might want us to deal with that today. You know whether we're in fear about something. Nobody else may know, but you know. Because you made us all and you created us and you put us together in our mother's womb. You know if we're struggling, if we're going through a tough time. Thank you, Jesus. You are the ultimate sacrifice for us. Thank you for the freedom we enjoy in this land. Thank you for those who laid down their lives for us to enjoy this freedom. May we remember their courage. May we remember their sacrifice. May we have grace to live justly, generously, peacefully, loving our neighbours as Jesus taught us. And most of all, Lord Jesus, may we follow you. We don't know you, may we follow you this day, because you are the way to Father God. May we receive your Holy Spirit in our hearts. May we walk in that freedom that you bought and paid for, bringing others into the kingdom. Lord, we pray for peace in this world, but we know that the only way for peace is through the true Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, as we go forward into this day, we pray, Lord, that we may offer the hand of love and friendship to everybody we meet, that we may be your hands and feet as we go into the days ahead, that we may not forget today, we may walk in what we have birthed in our hearts this day. In Jesus' name, amen.